Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
This week, a state Senate committee gave its unanimous approval to a package of state tax incentives that could allow developers to capture state sales and income taxes to help pay for large development projects. This is something Dan Gilbert is pushing hard for as the package goes to the full Senate for consideration. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is with us now for our weekly check-in. Daniel, how would this so-called brownfield legislation work?
Well, essentially, it would enable the developers to capture tax revenue that otherwise would not be generated. This is an important point, that otherwise would not be generated if the project in question was not built. And the way that Gilbert's people and a coalition of business groups across the state are pitching this is the risk is borne by developers, not by taxpayers. And in the case of Detroit, the legislation sets up different gates for how much would need to be invested in cities of certain population size. So for a city of 600,000 inhabitants or more, it would have to be $500 million, so $500 million of investment commitment on the part of the developer for them to even be able to compete for these credits, which is a really important point. Then there's a sliding scale. So clearly the way that legislation is written is that Detroit would be a beneficiary at $500 million, smaller cities at lower levels.
So it could help cities that aren't Detroit.
Well, exactly. I mean, this is, of course, being seen as a Dan Gilbert bailout, or bailout's probably not a good word, but something that's tailored, sweetener to Dan Gilbert. And I think it is that in part, but it's not that in toto. I mean, remember, this is a state that has Flint. This is a state that has Saginaw. This is a state that has other cities that have been hit by deindustrialization
and
depopulation. Pontiac and deindustrialization over the last 20, 30, 40 years. They are complaining about the inability to compete because they don't have the kind of incentive packages that they used to have. After 2011, the state got rid of a lot of different incentives. And I think there's a concern that the developers are just, they're passing it by. And they're saying, you know what, there's other places that we can get a better return on our investment than to do brownfield redevelopments projects in the likes of Detroit or a Pontiac or a Saginaw or a Flint.
And just to get everybody on the same page, when we talk about these brownfield redevelopment projects, it's exactly what, and it's more complicated because of why?
Well, it's old, typically old industrial sites or just old developed sites like the Hudson sites downtown. Mm-hmm. They can have environmental remediation problems. They can have a lot of associated costs that you wouldn't have if you went out in the suburbs and just built a new shopping mall, for example. So it's a lot more problematic for developers and usually a lot more expensive. And this is one way to ameliorate that cost, and I think that's an important point.
Now, Governor Snyder has not been about picking winners and losers, and you know, you got to ask, why would a governor who hated incentives for rich filmmakers, who gutted Michigan's film industry tax incentives, why would he jump on board for incentives for rich developers like Dan Gilbert?
Because I think he probably feels like he's going to need to. You know, this is one of the few things, the governor's legacy is mixed, to put it mildly, right now. I don't think there's any question about it. And anything that he's doing going forward, including some ads we've recently seen on television, I think are really geared to repairing his legacy. And Detroit, and what's happened in Detroit with the bankruptcy and Dan Gilbert's investments, is something that really would inform his legacy. I don't think there's any question about what ultimately the governor signs this legislation. It's going to get tweaked. There's going to be some people who are going to raise questions about it. But big transformational projects, and that's an important word here. We're not talking about buying a downtown office building, rehabbing it, cleaning up the offices and the bathrooms, and then renting it out. We're talking about something that is major. Think of the Illich, $1.2 billion District Detroit development in the city with the arena, mixed use, retail, residential. That's a transformational kind of project. And the Illiches did get a certain piece of public money as part of, again, a tax capture idea to make their numbers work. That was done as a one-off kind of thing with the legislature. So I think part of what we're seeing here, too, is the implicit rivalry between Gilbert and Illich. They don't talk about this. They downplay it. But I don't think there's any question behind where Dan is going with this is, look, you did this for the Illiches. You should be able to do this for me. And, oh, by the way, one of the ways to make it more saleable statewide is to say, oh, look at these other cities. They need it, too. And, you know, there's a coalition of people that have gone on the record talking to the Senate committee and testified saying, we need this in our community as well. And that goes from Grand Rapids to Flint and Saginaw.
What kind of impact do they think it could have on state revenue and local revenue?
Well, the Senate Fiscal Agency has done some analysis and said that there will be some hit to this. They additionally have said that the Treasury Department would have to, for the first time, figure out a way to analyze how tax revenue coming from a specific place is incremental. And that would take more people, and therefore it would cost more for them to do that kind of analysis to be able to come to a number as to what they would be able to, what they would be able to capture.
You know, I've got to focus back on Gilbert because he is the biggest player in all of this.
Sure.
And, you know, we keep hearing the talk about the increasingly healthy real estate and land market in Detroit. So wouldn't the market growth soon be able to bear the cost of brownfield remediation all on its own without tax breaks for developers?
Well, in a lot of cases, it has not. I mean, we've got sites like the Uniroyal site, for example, right near the road to Belle Isle, where it's been sitting there fallow for a very long time. You know, I think people have to recognize that these kind of big transformational projects are not easy, and they're not easily financed. These are much bigger than the smaller projects, comparatively speaking, that you see going on and being done in the city. Now, there are people who would say, hey, yes, this is going to happen organically if you just leave it alone. My question would be, are you sure? If, in fact, they are going to happen organically, the fact of the matter is that they haven't. You know, the Illich project is something that is being helped in part by tax captures of taxes in the city. And I think you're going to see the same thing here. The big projects are not happening yet the way that people assume that they would.
And you write in your column this week in the Detroit News that if these bills get through the legislature and the governor, Dan Gilbert's ready to pump some pretty big money into a number of projects.
Yeah, they're on record as saying we're ready to go with $2 to $3 billion worth of investment of additional projects. Now, that's obviously a part of a sales pitch. But to put it in perspective, if you know the number changes with them, but they're now saying that they've probably invested somewhere between $2.2 to $2.4 billion so far since 2010 in acquiring buildings, rehabbing them, etc. So you're talking about essentially a doubling of that investment. Now, a lot of other things would have to fall their way. I mean, another piece of this, which you haven't talked about, is the Wayne County Jail project. Mm-hmm. I think implicit in that $2 to $3 billion is that they end up on the winning side of this debate about what's going to happen to the Wayne County Jail, and they get their way, and that jail gets built somewhere else in the city, maybe out at the Mountain Road or at the Michigan Central Train Depot,
yeah,
as two options. And then they get to do fulfill their vision, which was about $1 billion vision for that site, which would include a Major League Soccer stadium.
Well, keeping our eye on this, as we say, it has gone to the full Senate, and there's still quite a long road before it hits the governor's desk. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes, as always, thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.